Good evening, everyone. I'm Jim Rawton, your host again for this evening, and welcome once again to Immunitech's Medline conference call. This call is for the education of Immunitech distributors. As a very brief introduction, Immunitech is a nutritional biotechnology company. They're located close to Montreal, Canada, and they have a very, very unique line of nutritional products. Their flagship product is called ImmuniCal, and it is the category-defining product for raising the immune system through raising a very special substance in your body called glutathione. ImmuniCal has well over a quarter of a century of research and a long list of publications in the medical and scientific literature. There are multiple method of use patents from the United States and Canada, and many more from around the world. ImmuniCal is one of the few over-the-counter products included in the U.S. Physician's Desk Reference, that's the PDR, and the Pharmacist Red Book, and more recently, the Canadian CPS. And these are references that are in the hands of every practicing physician and pharmacist in North America. In addition, ImmuniCal has been successful in Canada in obtaining what is known as an NPN number. That is a natural product certification that justifies the medical claim that ImmuniCal is beneficial for a good immune system. Joining us again tonight is Dr. Jimmy Gutman, a board-certified emergency physician who has spent many long hours of research and time learning as much about glutathione as possible. He's authored many books on the topic now in five different languages with the latest best-selling edition, Glutathione, Your Key to Health. Dr. Gutman is also the senior medical consultant at ImmuniTech and continues his research to better understand the critical role that this miraculous substance plays within our bodies. And with all of that research out there, I doubt that he's going to ever run out of material. Welcome to our call tonight, Dr. Gutman.
Thank you very much, Jim.
Okay, Dr. Gutman, before we move on to our topic tonight, glutathione and its relationship to aging, could you please give us a very brief introduction to glutathione?
Well, glutathione is something that we all have in our bodies. We could not live without it. It's a little molecule that your cells make themselves. And there are many, many functions of glutathione. We could probably spend a week talking about them, but we could summarize it with a little acronym, glutathione. What an idea. An idea. What does it stand for? Well, the N, A-N, stands for antioxidant. And if you look at the literature, you will hear people describe glutathione as the master antioxidant. All the other antioxidants that we take, whether it's in our food or in supplementation, they can't work without glutathione. So glutathione is the master antioxidant. So glutathione, what an idea. The I stands for the immune system. The immune system is literally fueled by glutathione. Without glutathione, if glutathione levels get low, your ability to fight off diseases through your immune system becomes blunted. D stands for detoxification. We spent a whole hour just looking at its ability to detoxify, and I tell people that next to water, there probably isn't a more important detoxification substance than glutathione. E stands for energy, and energy all the way from the molecular basis and all these little molecules moving around to the whole body, where we've been able to demonstrate an increase in muscle strength and endurance of between 10 and 15% by raising glutathione. If you're concerned about energy, or better still, concerned about a lack of energy, you need to look at this. And finally, A, which is our topic tonight, glutathione and its relationship to the aging process.
Okay, excellent summary there, Dr. Gutman, and a good introduction. And for all of you new listeners out there, ImmuniCal is the only natural protein patented and clinically proven to raise glutathione. All right, Dr. Gutman, our topic tonight is the aging process and the diseases of aging. And exactly why do you distinguish between the two?
Well, aging itself is different than the diseases of aging. You know, we're all inevitably going to age. We face our mortality no matter how healthy we are. But the thing is that as we age, we become much more prone to specific illnesses that a younger population does not suffer from. You know, we're talking about not only things like Alzheimer's and Parkinson's, but cardiovascular disease and diabetes and certain forms of cancer like prostatic cancer. These are all diseases that are correlated with the aging process.
Okay, then what do researchers today have to say about the normal aging process?
Well, it's interesting that you should ask that. You know, there's a whole new field of medicine called anti-aging medicine. They have their own certification process. They have their own subspecialty. And if we look at the history of anti-aging medicine, you know, I ask people a few simple questions like, what was the average lifespan of a North American adult back around the turn of last century, around 1900? And believe it or not, the average American lived to be somewhere between 40 and 45 years old. Now, when I went to high school, and let's look at 1967, the lifespan of an American male would be around 68 years old. Now, that's not that long ago. As of the late 1990s, you know, the turn of the century, that number had been bumped up well into the 70s. And in 2009, you know, depending on which figures you look at, you know, we're pushing 80 years old now. So we've been studying anti-aging medicine, you know, for hundreds of years. We just haven't defined it as specifically as we do now.
That's pretty amazing. Well, you know, the Bible often talks about living to be 120 years old. Is this a reasonable expectation?
You know, 120 years old, there's some interesting truths about things that you find in the Bible. You know, you take those biblical numbers and you look at some scientific studies. For example, there's an anti-aging specialist called James Volpel. He works out of Duke University, and he says, and I'm quoting him here, there's no evidence that human life expectancy is anywhere close to its ultimate limit. And this has been verified by numbers of studies, and a lot of these studies actually agree roughly with this figure of 120 years.
Okay, then what is it exactly that limits us to this particular number?
Well, there's all kinds of theories. You know, let's look at some of them. Look at cells themselves. They replace and repair themselves and multiply by a process called cell division. And in cell division, this requires that each of these little chromosomes, these are the material that contain the blueprint for our cells, they got to divide each time too. And the amount of physical material in the chromosomes is limited and can only tolerate so many divisions before it starts running out of material. Okay, now this is an oversimplification, but, you know, this kind of picture is one that's easy to appreciate.
Okay, well, do any other major theories come into play here? I know that many people take antioxidants. I know that I do, because they believe, and I do believe, that this somewhat slows down the aging process.
Well, in fact, this is a cornerstone theory of aging, this whole antioxidant theory. You know, when we look at oxidation, this is a process that is, again, inevitable. If we're going to be breathing oxygen, if we're going to be eating food and turning it into fuel, we end up with oxidants. These are otherwise known as free radicals or oxyradicals. You'll hear a whole bunch of these terms. Now, people take antioxidants to suppress these free radicals because the free radicals, they cause damage, they cause aging, and for many, many years, this seemed to be making a lot of sense. However, in the last couple of years, we've become more eloquent, more knowledgeable about antioxidants. I personally feel that taking antioxidants in mega doses is probably not a good idea. You see, yes, we want to fight these free radicals, but there's a certain amount of oxidation that has to take place in your body. There are a bunch of metabolic functions that require oxidation. And, you know, God designed us a certain way, or if you don't believe that, the natural selective process has us designed a certain way, and we wouldn't be forming free radicals if they didn't have a use. The beauty is, raising glutathione as opposed to taking megadoses of vitamin C or vitamin E or any other antioxidant. You see, when you are ingesting precursors, building blocks for glutathione, which is what the Immunocal is, your cells can only make its optimal amount of glutathione and no more. You see, you can't force a cell to make more than its optimal amount of glutathione. So you end up with your optimal amount of oxidation-antioxidation balance. And of course, life and homeostasis is the scientific word for balance. We need this balance. And you can't find a more eloquent, a more sophisticated system than the way your body is designed. So when we're raising glutathione here, we can never overdo it, upsetting that oxidation-antioxidation balance. This is just such a beautiful solution.
Okay, so in going back to our original discussion, in Immunocal, by raising glutathione, or GSH, will provide antioxidant protection.
Of course. Remember, glutathione, or GSH, abbreviation, is the key antioxidant that naturally occurs in our cells to do just that. You know, soak up the excess antioxidants and free radicals that do all this damage that makes our cells grow old, and you've accomplished something.
Okay, well, I've heard that, in fact, glutathione itself has undergone quite a bit of research in regard to the aging process.
Well, we've known that glutathione was an anti-aging substance for years, but we just didn't know a safe and natural, effective way to raise it in the past. Now we do.
Okay, well, how about giving us an example of anti-aging research with glutathione, then?
Well, we can go back almost 4 years, maybe 50 years, where scientists were giving animals drugs to raise glutathione to see if it had an effect on their longevity. Of course, we were using animals. Very hard to do a human study. Can't find funding for an 80-year study. But we tried to translate some of these these animal studies into human studies. At first, we looked at real small animals, for example, mosquitoes. You know, mosquitoes have a lifespan measured in months, so this is something, you know, a good master's student could do in the summer. And so even mosquitoes, you know, we were able to see good research where their lifespan was expanded by 30-50%. We moved on to larger animals like mice and rats, and same kind of results. You see, glutathione is something that all animals, Jim, all animals, and even many, many plants have inside of themselves to prevent this oxidation. And without the glutathione being present, the aging process is vastly accelerated.
That's pretty fantastic, but we're still ultimately interested in human beings. What evidence is there that GSH does anything for us?
That's a good question, of course. I'll give you some examples. There's a good study for you all to look up by Lang Julius Cruz. Okay, Lang would be the primary author. They did demographic studies. A lot of these studies are actually done in Florida. I mean, if you're going to do an aging study, Florida's got lots of people to study. They were able to show that higher levels in the elderly gave them not only a physical but a psychological and sociological advantage over those with lower levels. You know, they had about a third rate of arthritis and high blood pressure and heart disease and all these other chronic illnesses. And the ones with higher glutathione levels were generally happier and more active. There was another study from the Lancet. The Lancet is probably next to the New England Journal, the second most well-known to the public medical journal. And they compared glutathione levels from four different groups. One group was young, healthy people. Another group were what we call sick elderly people, and these were older people that were in a hospital. The third group was moderately sick older people. These are older people not in a hospital, but they'd have to be visiting their doctor or clinic on a regular basis, you know, adjust their medication and all the rest of that. And then healthy older people, and those are the older people that go for their yearly checkups or, you know, whenever else they need. And the results were exactly as expected. The healthy people had the highest glutathione levels. The young people had the highest levels. The healthy old people had the next highest. The moderately healthy in the middle, and the sick old people had the lowest levels of glutathione. You know, a perfect negative correlation.
Pretty good proof there. Okay, what about the diseases of aging? What do you mean here, and can you provide some examples?
Well, these are diseases that seem to be associated with aging process. As we mentioned before, let's look at hardening of the arteries or atherosclerosis. You know, I think, Jim, maybe we should just spend an entire call just looking at heart disease and glutathione. There are many other degenerative diseases, stroke and arthritis and immune deficiency. All of these increase as we age. And neurodegenerative disease and Parkinson's and Alzheimer's. Jim, we got to have a separate call for any number of these, and just explain how these are correlated with low glutathione levels.
Well, as I said earlier, I don't think either you or I are going to run out of things to talk about for quite some time. Okay, then you're saying then that by raising your glutathione levels, there's something that possibly may have an effect in Alzheimer's and Parkinson's disease then?
Well, these are two classic diseases of aging. There's some interesting studies that if you get a hold of the brains affected by Parkinson's and Alzheimer's, and unfortunately this we are able to do on autopsy, and you dissect out the actual tissue that's affected. For example, in Parkinson's, there's an area called the substantia nigra in the brain, and you send these off to the lab. You're going to find two things consistently. One, very high levels of oxidative stress. Remember, glutathione being the major antioxidant fights against that. And number two, even more directly, very low levels, sometimes, you know, 2 to 5% levels of glutathione in these tissues from what you would expect in a healthy brain. Now, whether this is a chicken or an egg phenomenon, we don't know. Is it the low glutathione is causing disease? Is it disease is causing the low glutathione? That's not yet clear. But what is clear is that if you raise glutathione levels, for example, in Parkinson's, you can have some rather dramatic effects. And you know, I urge you all to look this up. You know, go to a well recognized, credible site like PubMed. PubMed.com and enter two keywords, Parkinson's and glutathione. And I tell you, your printer won't have enough paper in it to accept all the articles.
That's pretty exciting. Well, what I'm going to do right now is insist that we cover this subject of Parkinson's and Alzheimer's in a lot more detail on a future call then.
Let's do that. That'll be my pleasure.
Okay. I'd like to mention that one study that was published a few years ago, as you mentioned, the older you get, the more your glutathione levels drop. And someone who's around 60 years old might be 20 or even 40% glutathione deficient, and this drop continues into our 70s and 80s.
That's
However,
right.
When you measure the glutathione levels in people who are over 100 years ago, they seem to show high glutathione levels again. Can you explain that particular paradox?
That's easy. These people who are 100 years old with high glutathione levels, that's why they're 100 years old. Yeah. They have this inherent ability, you know, whether it's genetic or otherwise, to have high glutathione levels. And all of their friends and relatives who didn't have high glutathione levels got weeded or selected out. You know, they're just fascinating, great stuff to read out there, Jim.
It certainly is. Well, folks, every time now and then we come across wonderful topics like this is aging tonight. So now you've heard that we can do something about getting older. And even more importantly, we can do something about keeping healthy while we're growing old by taking advantage of breakthrough products such as ImmuniCal. Any closing comments tonight, Dr. Gunther?
Yeah, a couple, Jim. You made a very good point. You know, just getting old, well, that's no fun. But getting old and staying healthy while we're old, you know, we're talking about quality of life. That's the most important thing. And you do your homework out there. You know, everybody do your homework out there. You know, you all have internet access or you have access to health professionals. And you got to read this material, and this will be extremely convincing for you. And make an investment in the future. It's hard to get people to make an investment in the future. They're more concerned about the here and now. Yes, raising glutathione can take care of the here and now, but think about what life is going to be in 5, 10, or 30 years from now. And raising glutathione is certainly going to add to your quality of life.
Excellent. Dr. Gutman, another great call. And since we're all headed in that same direction regarding aging, and I don't know of any way to get around that process, I know that most people would like to age a bit more gracefully and enjoy a better quality of life along the way. So ImmuniCal provides us with the tools to aid in this process, and your background in the field is greatly appreciated.
Thank you, Jim.
Okay, we'd also like to thank everyone who has joined us tonight, taking time away from your family and friends to be with us. We certainly appreciate your participation and your desire to learn more about health and nutrition and how ImmuniCal can play a major role in that process. If you have further questions about ImmuniCal or any of the other fine ImmuniTech products, please contact the person who invited you to this call. If you need general information, please visit the ImmuniTech website. That's www.immunitech.com. And, of course, the quickest way to reach us if you have questions is via email. Our email address is medline@immunitech.com. If you'd like to know more about Dr. Gutman's books and pamphlets or to order his latest book, Glutathione, Your Key to Health, please visit www.glutathione.org. That's glutathione.org. Well, this ends our call tonight. Please join us again in a couple of weeks for the next segment of ImmuniTech's Medline. Good evening, Dr. Gutman, and good night, everyone.
Thank you, Jim.